Now, our ongoing series of View from the Top, our conversations with leaders of organizations big and small. And today we could call it A View from the Podium. The storied New York City Ballet is getting a new music director, and it's a choice that's raising a few eyebrows. We'll explain. That's the New York City Ballet Orchestra playing Tchaikovsky's Serenade for Strings, a signature work for the company that was founded in 1948 by Russian-born George Balanchine, who plays music, not princes and swan queens, center stage. The interesting thing is, for its next conductor, the New York City Ballet's artistic director, Peter Martins, has chosen a world-renowned orchestra leader who, doesn't have much experience conducting for dancers. Andrew Litton will take over leadership of the New York City Ballet Orchestra later this year. He's a native New Yorker and current music director of the Colorado Symphony, a job he'll keep for the next few years. So, very busy schedule. He joins us from NPR in New York. Andrew, welcome.
Thanks so much, Robin. It's a pleasure.
As the New York Times puts it, it's unusual for someone of your stature to conduct a ballet ensemble. But how are you feeling about conducting this particular one when, you know, as it has been pointed out, this isn't what you've been doing?
Well, it was certainly not something I imagined a year ago at this time I would even be discussing, let alone thinking about. My very first professional experience while I was still a first-year student at Juilliard and I was 18 years old was playing on-stage piano on Broadway for a dancer by the name of Rudolf Nureyev. And, of course, it was a heck of a way to start at the very top. But I fell in love with ballet through that kind of quality, that kind of level. But it was really funny because that was sort of it for me in ballet. And then the rest of the time I've been conducting symphony orchestras and operas. And so suddenly I get summoned by Peter Martins and he says, we'd like to offer you the job of music director. And I thought, really? And then I thought, kind of much more seriously about it because this ballet company in particular is renowned for the quality of its repertoire. It's not just doing the story ballets. In fact, the story ballets, besides Nutcracker, which of course makes up all of December, the rest of the time they do this amazing wide-ranging repertoire, 300 years of music by my calculations, everything Stravinsky ever thought of, and all this great Tchaikovsky and all this great Bernstein and Copland, and it's what I do for a living.
Well, you grew up in New York, and you were something of a stage door Johnny at the ballet.
That is very true. Met and fell in love with a ballet dancer. She became a member of the New York City Ballet shortly thereafter, and I got very familiar with the repertoire. There were certain pieces of music that I fell in love with visually first. I'd never thought of adding them to my repertoire until I saw what amazing ballets they were.
And name
the
one
most specifically is the Ravel G Major Piano Concerto, which became and still is a major repertory piece for me. I play and conduct it all the time. I never had even learned the piece till I saw it as a ballet, and then especially the Pas de Deux, which in the second movement is so extraordinarily beautiful. It's some of the most intimate music ever written, and to have these two dancers, male and female, approaching each other, taking two steps forward and one step back until the climax of the phrase when they reach. It's just the most incredible depiction of music visually just about every ballet the City Ballet does is like that. And Peter Martins really feels, I think, that the next part of his legacy, if you will, with the ballet is to get the music to be as recognized as the dancing. And that certainly was the precept from which Balanchine came. You know, he always said he wouldn't even know how to take a step unless he heard the music first. You know, that's a paraphrase of something he wrote. But, you know, that's still in the company, even though it's so many years since his passing.
Well, let's listen to a piece of music made famous because of a Balanchine ballet. This is Symphony in C from the French composer Georges Bizet.
Thank you.
okay, so this is, you know, a blisteringly fast ballet, scores of dancers on stage in tutus. And so comment on that, because if you are going too fast, it could be trouble for them.
It really can be trouble if you don't adapt a tempo that works. But I think that's what you develop during a rehearsal process of any kind of music. Of course, there is a natural tempo. All of these great choreographers picked tempi and chose to choreograph to tempi that were the tempo of the piece. You know, this is nothing controversial about any of the tempi, although the Bach double violin concerto, which is a famous ballet, the tempi that we dance to, that Balanchine choreographed to, is the old concept of Bach. Bach from 1948, which I love, before historically informed performances started. Now things are taken in general in Baroque music much faster. And, you know, you can't dance to that.
As we listen to some more music, you will do the Nutcracker. That's, you know, every December. Let's listen to a little of the Sugar Plum Fairy. What you are thinking about here, are you trying to get a signal from the dancer? What will you be trying to do?
Well, I want to get to learn all of my ballerinas, you know, get to know what they need, what they look like when they're possibly in trouble, what they look like when they're feeling just right and you've hit the tempo just right. And everybody's different. So it's just like one gets to know one's singers in an opera company. You know, you do that by attending rehearsals and asking questions. And I'm not afraid to ask questions because everybody knows that there's a steep learning curve here for me. But the thing that's always been the case for me is I love the whole idea of putting on a show. There's something so exciting about that curtain opening and everybody giving it everything they've got. You mentioned the Sugar Plum Fairy before. One thing I love to think about when I listen to the celesta, which plays the big solo of the Sugar Plum Fairy, is how sneaky Tchaikovsky was. Nobody in Russia knew about the celesta yet, so with great deal of subterfuge, Tchaikovsky managed to smuggle back into Russia, one back into Russia, as he was scared to death that Rimsky-Korsakov or Borodin would discover it first and quickly write something for the celesta. Tchaikovsky really wanted to be the first to use this instrument in a classical piece, and he pulled it off and to great effect, one of the most famous solos for any instrument ever written.
Andrew Linton, we mentioned, of course, you accompanied Nureyev and still play. You've got a new recording, you playing, and it's a tribute to the jazz pianist and composer Oscar Peterson. Let's listen to a little of Lulu's Back in Town. Okay, so then there's that. Tell us about this part of you.
Well, it's really interesting. I decided I wanted to be a conductor when I was 10. But, you know, I didn't know anything about jazz until my 16th birthday. One of my buddies, he brought this LP. It said Oscar Peterson tracks. And I had no idea what this was. And I put it on as soon as everybody left. And there was the most unbelievable version of Give Me the Simple Life I've still ever heard. And I just was thrilled when my record company said, sure, we'll record you doing this thing, even though we have nothing else in our catalog remotely like it. And so the record was born.
Well, Andrew Linton, I have to say, you're like the Zelig of of composers. You ultimately meet Oscar Peterson and, you know, get to interact with him. You first accompanied Nureyev, now conducting the New York City Ballet Orchestra. But, oh, yes, you've got all these other things going on, including an orchestra in Norway. We wish you the best of luck with the upcoming season of the ballet.
Thank you so much. Well, I just can't wait to get started. I don't actually conduct them until September, but I'm already taking part in auditions. for the orchestra. So you know, I was getting the administrative side of my job up to steam much faster than the actual musical part, and that's just the nature of the beast.
Well, we wish you the best of luck, and we'll be looking for you when you finally are there on the podium in front of the stage. Thank you so much for talking to us about it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Andrew Litton at the piano playing Round Midnight. He's the incoming conductor of the New York City Ballet. He's part of our ongoing View from the Top series, and we'll have more of our conversation. Who doesn't want to hear more about talking with Nureyev at hereandnow.org? You're listening to Here and Now.